This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where guess what we talk about as outdoorsmen? We talk about, and women, we talk about fishing and hunting and, of course, the great outdoors. We talk about crabbing and trapping and wildlife and you name it, if it's in the outdoors. And, well, we just enjoy it. This is the whole purpose of this show for almost 28 years now, and we hope that you will join us this hour. With your phone call at 410 WCBM 680. That's 410-922-6680. You can also join us on the toll-free line. If you live just outside the Baltimore dialing area and you happen to live in Maryland, you can call us if you're calling from a landline, toll-free, 800-WCBM-680, 800-922-6680. Of course, with the era of the modern cell phone, of course, none of that matters. None of that matters. There's no such thing as long distance. You just dial 410-922-6680, and you're here. But if you're at home, still have a landline, feel free to use that 800 number for sure. So, pre-recorded show last weekend. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the boating safety show. And also Eric Zilkovich for the summertime fishing tips. Today at 6 o'clock, we'll have Chuck Stentz here from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources. We're going to talk about a lot of things with Chuck. But last year, and I think I might have mentioned this, I believe it was August or September, went with Chuck and the crew on the sturgeon work on the Nanticoke River system here in Maryland. We're going to talk about sturgeon and trying to track the recovery of the Atlantic sturgeon, which is an endangered species, is. And we are going to talk about that in the next hour, but this first hour is all you and all me. So there you go. Welcome your phone calls here, of course. Again, that number, 1-800-922-6680 outside the local Baltimore dialing area. It's a toll-free call for you. Or 410-922-6680. Who's going to kick it off? Who's going to kick it off? Who's going to step up to the plate and kick it off? Well, I don't know. So anyway, I was reading with interest a story that actually made some national news headlines. A woman in Ohio, a place called Mentor on the Lake, she says she feels like a prisoner in her own home because of a deer. A deer has been attacking her near her home. Now, I don't believe there's been any injuries here, but apparently this deer is very aggressive. It's a doe. It has dropped its fawn, at least one of them, and that's all they've mentioned is one fawn, in her yard. And when she comes out with her dogs, the deer becomes aggressive. So she said she's called police about the doe and asked for assistance in walking her dogs near her suburban Cleveland home. So I'm sure the police dropped everything in Cleveland and went out there to help this lady walk her dogs because of a deer. The deer charged her last week while she was taking her dogs out. She said she had to fight the doe off with the dog leash and her fist. She tried to zigzag back and forth. Frost said the deer slipped on the blacktop, allowing her to safely return inside, and the deer then circled her home. Frost said the doe's fawn lives in her backyard. So state wildlife officials say, hey, not much we can do. Such encounters are likely quite common. Well, maybe so, maybe not. We had a number of doe around the cabin near Swanton last weekend in Deep Creek Lake area, Garrett County. And none of them became aggressive, and we're sure some of them had fawns nearby or were getting ready to drop their fawns. We saw no little tiny fawns, but we could see deer, you know, the same deer on one side of the road one, you know, hour, and the next hour they're on the other side of the road, you know, out there. And that's basic deer behavior. If they have two fawns, which is typical for a mature animal over, you know, over a year and a half old, they'll have two fawns. They'll stash one of them on one side of a field, let's say, and the other on the other side, up to 200 and 300 yards apart. And then the doe will, you know, she'll feed, and you know, the grass goes into milk production, of course. The browse that they eat goes into milk production. She'll feed, she'll visit one, she'll feed it, she'll, you know, go to the other one. And like I said, they may be 100 to 200 to 300 yards apart. And this is why you'll occasionally see this time of year, you'll see a big doe hit alongside the road, because she's just going from one fawn to the next. You know, people will find a fawn and they'll think it's abandoned. It is not abandoned. The doe knows exactly where it is, but she might be laying down resting, you know, 150 yards away. You never know. She's watching you. She knows where her fawn is at all times. And here's a trivia question for you. Maybe this will start it off. How many spots does a fawn have? How many spots does a spotted white-tailed deer fawn have at birth? Anybody want to take a shot at that? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. But I thought it was interesting that in this entire incident, with a woman encounter with a doe, because it had its fawn in its yard, was unique enough to make the national news. Something that happens, I don't know if deer become that aggressive, you know, in farm country, but I can imagine there's probably stories like that out there in every state. So that's just a little story there to kick it off. All right. Well, it's time again when the cow nose rays come streaming into the Maryland Chesapeake Bay, and they are a migratory creature, and they are covered under the regulations for bow fishing. People have enjoyed going out and bow fishing for cow nose rays, and we covered this topic extensively last year. And you can still read this in Maryland Loves Crabs. Now, that Maryland Loves Crabs is online at mdlovescrabs.com, and you can read about cow nose rays, the controversy beginning on page 31, and it is extremely, extremely long article. It starts out with Bay Bow Fishing Tournament Spark a Debate, and then there was a DNR briefing on June 19th of last year. And the activist media hysteria began on June 22nd. Well, it's starting early this year. But first, let's take a call from Roger in Baltimore. Roger, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. The white-tailed deer doesn't have any circles or spots on it. That's a secret deer, I believe.
No, I'm talking about a fawn.
Fawn?
Yeah, fawn.
I've never seen them with spots. But
Roger, Google white-tailed fawn and see what you see online, because believe it or not, they all do.
Oh, all right. No, you learn something every day. Oh, I saw something about 4 hours ago that was quite shocking. Now, I don't know if elk exist in this region, but I saw something. It didn't have horns, so I guess it was a doe. I don't know if it was a mule deer or whitetail, but it was bigger than the usual whitetail.
Mm.
This was at Rolling Road at Security Boulevard. There's a church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly where it is.
Far across from the M&T.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? M&T Bank is a little church, but there's low cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
This thing stood about at least six. The head is at least 6.5 feet high.
Wow.
I didn't get too close. It was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I didn't want to get hoofed. And then just it was grazing as cars are coming up and down Rolling Road.
Right.
And trying to figure out, is this a or deer, you know, because it was bigger than most deer that I ever see.
That's probably just a mature doe, and, you know, the nighttime and the lights and all that type of thing made it appear larger than it actually is. A white-tailed doe, actually, they only stand about 3, 3.5 foot high at the shoulder, maybe another foot and a half for the head. If it's if it's upright looking at you, it might be able to look a...
taller than most bucks.
Uh-huh.
And, I wonder how far you have to go to encounter an elk. I mean, aren't there eastern elk somewhere around?
Yeah, there are. There's a few in Virginia. There's some in Kentucky.
And I saw something.
And the biggest elk encounter is in Pennsylvania. There's actually a huge building built to the elk there by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation that people can go visit, the Eastern Elk Visitor Center up there in Pennsylvania. So you're about 3 or 4 hours away at the most. So and lots of elk in Pennsylvania. Been there ever since I was a kid.
Lots of elk. Now, I noticed, like, tractor trailer hit these woods ago. And I noticed they had a different coloration than, like, the elk that you see in the Rocky Mountain on television. Like, it had a vibrant white hindquarter with a dark coat.
Mm.
This was right where at 70 meets 76 through Breezewood.
Uh-huh.
But I never saw that type elk or whatever it was in these parts. But this thing I saw last night just baffled me. I mean, it was tall, you know. It's probably just a doe.
Right. Well, Roger, I live out there. Maybe I'll have to take a trip out there some evening and see if I can see this ginormous animal that you're talking about.
And, well, the grass is cut low now. So
yeah, I know where that church is, sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Roger, I appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you. There goes Roger. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Boy, I don't know if anybody else has seen that gargantuan deer/elk out there on Rolling Road at Security Boulevard, or has ever seen any spotless fawns. But look, you're welcome to call in if you have. Elk up there at the corner of 70 and Breezewood. Well, there are some elk up there. There's a couple of game farms up there that have captive elk herds that raise them. And it's very, very possible that Roger saw an elk up around Breezewood, Pennsylvania. So we look forward to getting your call. But the question remains, how many spots does a fawn have? How many spots does a fawn have? So there we go. We're going to talk about Cal Nose Race here in a minute, but we've got to talk to Don in Stony Beach. Good morning, Don. Welcome back. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I was just picking up the phone to call you to give the report that the Cal Nose Rays are making their annual visit up here to Stony Beach. We have a boardwalk that goes around the community, and it was lined up with folks the other night watching the youngsters in the boats trying to shoot these rays with a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite an event when they come up here. And
sure.
It seems like they're here for 3 or 4 nights and then they're gone. So haven't seen any for the last like 2 nights.
Well, I don't know. They're just coming in now. They come in waves like every other migratory fish does. They're usually here in the bay till sometime in August. And, you know, they're here during the warmer wet water. So I guess the water's warmed up to the point where they're coming in on their annual spawning run.
Uh-huh.
But, you just mentioned the key to why these animal activists, want to end the bow fishing contest. I mean, this is recreation. And,
yeah.
And, I don't know if you read last year's Maryland Loves Crabs concerning the, cow nose rays, but,
I did, and
yeah, right now there's no federal or even state level management of cow nose rays. There's no management authority by DNR to promulgate regulations to control the harvest of cow nose rays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these rays are watermen hate them for the most part. Some of them ignore them. Some of them don't think there's anything wrong. The clammers hate them. The razor clammers and the softshell clammers hate them because that's what they feast on. If you Google cow nose ray on your computer, Virginia Marine, whatever it's called, will show you pictures of cow nose rays opening oysters. Yeah, their jaws are very, very powerful. They can crush razor clams and soft shells with no problem, but they'll actually sit there and crank on an oyster till they get it open. If you've ever you've caught them.
Yes, I think I sent you several photos.
Yes, you did. And you know their jaws are very very tough, and they're a very strong animal. Dangerous as well. Because you got to stay out of the way of that that barb on their tail. But what happened was there was an amateur, I'll call it an amateurish, bow fishing contest last year in St. Mary's County that had been kind of under the radar for a long time, and guys just kind of got together, had a little contest, and two fellas commercialized a little bit and got some sponsors and promoted it, and they weren't very distinct on what the rules and regulations were, and these two animal activist groups got together, one called Shark, which is called the animal rights group called Showing Animals Respect and Kindness, an organization called Shark, which to me is a ridiculous name. You know, a shark does not show kindness to its prey.
Yeah.
But, you know, they want to put an end to the annual, quote, bloodbaths by declaring cow nose ray a species in need of conservation and by taking whatever other action necessary to protect the animals. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're going to do. But these two fellows, again, organized this bow fishing tournament. And, you know, these groups came and they videotaped them. And quite frankly, some of these guys that were taking these rays were not very very judicious in their treatment of the fish. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I recall that.
You recall that. It was a bad scene. So now it's coming back again with the advent of the rays coming back to the bay. And again, DNR still says, according to an article in the Sun, by Zoe Zellers yesterday, she's from WBFF, DNR lacks direct authority to regulate these contests and competitions. However, the department is working with our federal partners like the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to gather more data and information on the species to determine if it is in need of conservation and protection. And that was from Stephen Schatz. He's the Director of Communications for DNR. So there you go. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it's quite an event when they come up here. And
it is.
It's when you hook one, it's quite a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the big story last year was we had a guy in the community, one of the neighbors had hooked one and fought that thing for almost an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when he brought him up to the boardwalk, line broke.
Yeah, they'll tend to do that. They'll rub against those pilings and get your line around them, and you know, those barnacles and stuff will put wear and tear on your line, that's for sure. So
yeah, and another thing that we note is that it seems like when they come in the area, the catfish just seem to swarm. And I think maybe we talked about this last year, or someone was telling me that the big catfish kind of follow, and they get involved with the spawning somehow. Maybe.
Well, they eat the eggs. I don't know. It's very possible.
The catfish fishing.
I mean, I can imagine. I can imagine when these things are going through. When these things are going through the. And this is just speculation on my part. I have no basis in fact. But I can imagine if they're going through a clam bar. Razor clams or whatever, and they're crunching those things. I'm sure that there's some fallout, just like the seagulls will, you know, circle a school of rockfish or bluefish that are slashing into baitfish, hoping to pick up some of the chunks and spoils. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey, by the way, Don, here's a question for you. You're a smart guy. You know, seagulls fly over the sea, correct?
Seagulls fly over the sea. Okay.
All right. Why don't they fly over the bay?
Why don't they fly in the bay? You got me on that one.
Well, then they would be called bagels.
Oh, jeez.
Have a wonderful weekend, buddy.
I saw Jose today.
Goodbye. Got to go. There he goes. There goes Don. Had to end that call to make sure we do this commercial break. And I think we'll be right back after these messages. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove Hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
WCBM 680, the question's still out there, and it's a kind of a trivia question, and if you answer, you win the the admiration of our listeners and the respect of your peers. But the question is, how many fawns does a white-tailed deer fawn have when it's born or as it grows and then begins to lose its spots? But how many originally does it have? Now, our buddy Chuck from Hampstead, he texted in the correct answer. So, But we'd like to hear from the rest of our listeners. How much, after listening to this show for all these years, how much do you know about the wildlife in your backyard? Well, we'll wait for that phone call. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. For all you folks in East Baltimore, Hartmiller Island State Park, it was created from reclaimed dredge material that opened the other day, 300 acres, open to the public for passive recreational activities such as biking and hiking and nature watching. Not a word about fishing in here, but DNR made a big deal about it. Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Mark Belton, was joined by officials from the Port Administration, Maryland Environmental Service, and other representatives yesterday morning to announce the opening of public access to the South Cell of Hartmiller Island in Baltimore County. It's called, a lot of folks were there. It was a press conference and a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and, basically they opened 300 acres of the southern end of Hartmiller Island State Park. I don't know much about that. Anybody from that area, if you're welcome to call and give us an update or whatever that might be. All right. Here's a bad dude. At least from this report, May 26th, a month-long investigation across two counties resulted in 16 deer and turkey poaching citations being issued to an Anne Arundel County man and other enforcement actions from the Maryland Natural Resources Police. Charges were filed last Wednesday against, Wednesday of May 20, whatever date. Joshua Michael Sarrow, 28 years old, Glen Burnie, who's due in Dorchester District Court on August 17th, and Anne Arundel District Court on August 19th. Two court dates. Investigation began in Dorchester in April when a citizen called to say he saw a man shoot out of the driver's side window of a Dodge pickup truck towards a field. The citizen took a photo of the truck and license plate and gave it to officers. Officers went to Sarrow's home and saw a truck that matched the description with fresh blood and animal tissue in a plastic bag in plain view in the bed. They got a search warrant for the truck and the home. The bag held a turkey carcass, and the truck cab contained turkey calls and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Inside the home, officers found 8 mounted deer racks. In the freezer, they found 2 additional turkey breasts containing shotgun pellets, which Sarrow claimed were chicken breast. State records show that Sarrow, who holds a hunting license, has never checked in a turkey or a deer. Not that it matters to this guy, but, Anyway, Sarrow was charged with possessing the heads of 8 bucks without reporting to the department, failing to check in a sick deer, failing to check in a white-tailed deer, failing to report the harvest of a wild turkey within 24 hours, failing to record the confirmation number for the harvest of a wild turkey on the big game harvest record, having a loaded weapon in the vehicle, hunting from a vehicle, shooting from a roadway, and hunting on private land without written permission. Special? I don't know. Huh? I'm not going to do it for just one guy. Come on. Well, yeah, I know he screwed up a lot, but look, it's a habit with the guy. What can I say? All right, following up on complaints from the public about crab pot thefts in Dorchester County, officers set up surveillance earlier this month in May along Punch Island Creek near the Chesapeake Bay on consecutive days. They watched this fellow, Dwayne L. Elliott of Newmarket, pull crab pots and conceal the marker buoy. Officers determined the pots did not belong to him, and they charged him on Sunday with 2 criminal counts of theft, intentionally interfering with legal fishing, and fishing crab pots belonging to another. Mr. Elliott is scheduled to appear in Dorchester District Court on June 20th to answer for the criminal charges. And on August 17th on the 2 natural resources charges, if he's found guilty on all 4 violations, he could get 18 months in jail and fined up to $3,000. About 2 weeks ago on Monday, officers charged 2 commercial fishermen with crabbing violation after checking the area near Hills Point in Dorchester County. Wendy Parpavage, 63, Taylor's Island, charged with setting five crab pots in a restricted area. John R. Abner of Chesapeake Beach was charged with setting 37 crab pots in a restricted area. They're scheduled to appear in Dorchester District Court. If found guilty, each fisherman could be fined up to $1,000. Here we go. While on patrol at the Bill Burton Fishing Pier in Talbot County. Talbot County, that's the eastern side. That would be the west side. Or the, the west side. An officer checking fishing license asked two men if they caught any fish. One of them pointed to a bucket, which contained 10 striped bass. 10. Ming Chen, 38 years old, of Clinton, and Yong Shen Guan, 33 of Germantown, received citations for exceeding the daily limit and catching striped bass in a closed area. Both men are scheduled to appear in Talbot District Court July 21. If found guilty, each man could be fined up to $3,000 for each person. 10 striped bass. Ming Chen, Yosheng Guan. Two Garrett County men were charged with in connection with an illegal turkey hunt in Oakland on Sunday. That would have been May 22nd, I guess. Officers investigating reported gunshots being fired on Cranesville Road were able to track a vehicle to a home off Signs Cemetery Road. Zachary Scott Kish, 21, of Swanton, admitted to shooting a hen turkey with a rifle from his vehicle. He was charged with hunting without a license and hunting from a vehicle. During the investigation, another vehicle pulled up bearing a license plate registered to the suspected vehicle, which had none. James Christopher Everhart, 27, of Oakland. He was charged with driving on a suspended license, operating an unregistered vehicle, and driving an uninsured vehicle. Men are scheduled to appear in Garrett County District Court July 21st. Found guilty, Kish, the shooter, could be fined as much as $3,000. Everett's penalty will be determined by the judge. Your call. All right.
Just the good old boys.
You know.
Never mean an old harm.
Turkeys are vulnerable.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble
after
with the
season,
law
though.
Since the day they was born.
I have seen many turkeys close to the road,
lightning the hills,
down the little field, from Garrett
someday
County to Dorchester County to
them
Talbot
the
County
long,
to Caroline County to
making
Queen
their
Anne
way
County.
The only way they know how.
The Jakes are all alone. You know,
that's just a little
for
bit old.
One laugh. And of course, and how can you shoot a hen turkey knowing full well that it's on the nest this time of year? It's got poults somewhere. I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, let's talk to Miss Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm fine. Hanging in there, thank God. Anyway, let me tell you, just to let you guys know, in case you wonder, is she just going to be singing about hunting and stuff, or is she going to go hunting? I am. I'm trying to get myself together.
Uh-huh.
I got my HQL license, you know.
Okay.
And then, but anyway, I got this subscription to a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it is so informative. It has all the little gadgets that you need to put in your chest, to put in your truck. Okay?
Right.
And it shows you pictures, and it tells you what each item can be used for. So for somebody like me that don't know one from the other, it's really helpful. But I was reading an article in this magazine that I got a kick out of getting, and it was about an invasion of iguanas in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Not only Puerto Rico, Fran, but also in Florida.
Well, see, this is what I'm going to ask you. They say they have no idea the number, but somewhere between 4 and 14 million. They dig barrels under the ground. They're under the sidewalks. They're under the runways. They're everywhere, right? And so they have these hunters that's kind of declared war on them. And they got strict laws down there, so they use these air rifles. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
and they were describing what it's like to go hunting for them. And the guy said when they drove in, he counted 40, just right there, you know. And they're not that far. And I thought, uh-oh, everything else comes here. Everything finds their way here. And I thought, I wonder, are we showing any signs of the iguanas in Florida, Carolinas, coming, you know, going to cause us a problem, and how much damage they can do to a crop overnight and in a couple of days and stuff like that, you know?
Sure. Well, we got everything else in Florida. I mean, we got pythons. We've got boa constrictors. Those are in the Everglades. And as far as the iguanas in Florida, there's an invasion of green iguanas in southern Florida, and they're thriving. Living and thriving in South Florida, no question about it. The only thing that stops any advancement of these iguanas is when the weather gets cold and these iguanas are out. It stops them in their tracks. They become incapacitated and comatose in the cold weather. So I mean, you can pick them up, put them in a sack. Of course, I wouldn't take them in your house after that. But you know, but yeah, they're here. They're already here.
I thought so. Yeah. I said, I haven't heard anything about it, but when I finished reading this article, and they had them on the grill.
Sure. Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
They had them on the grill. They said it tastes something like gator.
Something like gator, yeah. Well, yeah. Gator's good. It's a little chewy, but it's good.
Well, that's it. I'm just letting you all know. I'm slowly but surely still getting myself together.
I got you. Well, good. Well, we have to get out there with you this year.
Well, I hope
so. See what happens.
I hope so. I'm going to get my crossbow soon.
Yep.
And then go take some lessons. I think up at Deer Creek that you can pay by the hour to rent a place and practice. Yeah. So anyway, that's it.
All right. All right. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Fran.
Yep.
Bye. Bye-bye. There she goes. Let's talk to Vic in Hampton. Good morning, Vic. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, you mentioned the Kaunas racing again. I never finished some of the stuff I was sending you.
Right, I remember. Yeah. How you been, by the way? How you been? You been all right?
Actually, it's been pretty good. I had a very busy year.
Good.
And I have a summer course, so I have a lot more time flexibility than I did last summer.
Good.
You know, one thing I was going to say is where I was going to go on some of this is, there was a very technical article that I was going to try to translate into something that's not as technical, but basically explains that you cannot, that the whole premise of the fish field people is probably unsupported scientifically, that you can't go from behavior to say, well, okay, these, you know, fish feel pain just like we do. You know, because the physiology of the fish, I mean, to say it in non-technical terms, is such that they probably do not have an experience anything close to what we would label pain. And so
right.
The whole premise of the fish field people that fish feel pain just as much as we do is bogus, and there's good reason to think that it's utterly unsupported scientifically. But of course, as a philosopher, I don't even agree with their premise that if fish feel pain, that means you know, it's immoral to harvest a fish. I mean, that to me is crazy. You know, and so,
well, I you know, I agree with you, Vic. I mean, I'm not the philosopher that you are, but you know, the reality is these are cold-blooded animals. They're not mammals, and whatever their pain receptors are, if you want to go there, you know, they're certainly different than ours.
We're
totally different species. I mean, we're mammalia, and they're whatever they are. They're fish. I mean, you know, it's just a
whatever they call it, a brain or whatever they have for it. I mean, you know, people don't look into this scientifically, and
of course not.
You know, to try to impose on them, you know, human-like feelings of pain is just not supported scientifically at all.
Right.
And, so at any rate, that's kind of where I was going. I didn't see the Meryl Loaf's Crab piece. I have to go back.
Oh, go on. You can still catch it online at mdlovescrabs.com. And,
all right.
Yeah, you can look it up. You can look at the whole thing online there. We're working on the new one. We're really excited about the new one. We got a lot of new customers and places to distribute the magazine. And we made an appeal last week during the pre-recorded show and got one really nice picture out of it. But we're looking for people eating crabs, picking crabs, catching crabs, holding up crabs. For photos for the magazine, send us details, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. So,
yeah, well, that's really great. And I hope you get some, you and your staff really put together an impressive product. I couldn't believe the first time I looked at your, the Honey magazine
saw
the way you had it so it could look like you were graphically turning the pages, even though you weren't really doing it. I thought, wow, this is really impressive.
Well, let me tell you how that works, Vic. Donna Fisher and I started the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and Maryland Loves Crabs. Quarterly in 2011, Maryland Loves Crabs in 12. And Donna has been working with me for 20 years. And Donna last year, and over the last couple of years, had gotten, her health had deteriorated a little bit. Last year, she passed away in October. So her files were all transferred to our new art director, whose name is Jennifer Nicely. And Jennifer picked up the challenge and ran with it. And in 3 months last year, while Donna was in poor health, Jennifer put together three magazines in 3 months. She put together the summer issue of the Quarterly, the Maryland Loves Crabs, and then the fall issue of the Quarterly. And there were certainly some bumps along the way. Since Jennifer has been, and on the website, the end of it, Barry Harden at Outdoor Graphics is our graphics guy, and Barry's wife has been suffering, and it's a real tragedy. But through all these challenges, other than the writers and the articles that are done, and we are grateful for those writers. We've got Carol Sherrington doing recipes, and we got Jimmy Amrine doing guns and bows, and we got Dave Seacott doing some environmental stuff, and other contributors. Of course, all the readers contribute photos and occasionally articles and things like that. And then I focus on doing the advertising and the grunt work. I don't do any of the creative work, but.
Right.
It's in effect, Vic, three people. That's the staff. It's our art director, our web guy, and myself. We're able to do this, one of these days we're going to get some help. We're going to get some sales help out there, but Jennifer works full time. And of course, this is what I do for a living, and Barry has his own full time business. So it's quite a accomplishment. I'm very proud of it. And I'm proud of the folks that are associated with these magazines. So
yeah, it's a very professional product.
Indeed.
Like I say, I was extremely impressed the first time I went through the magazine online.
Sure.
Well, okay, I won't keep you. Let some other folks, get a word in edgewise here.
Thanks, Vic. I appreciate it, man. Stay in touch, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
There he goes. There goes Vic. All right. Hey, let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop. Since we're talking about crabbing, Clyde's has everything you need for crabbing and fishing. They've got a variety of traps. They've got the traditional traps. They've got the open top traps. They've got the several different locally built traps. They've got the trot lines. They've got the baskets. They've got the seasonings. They've got the steam pots. If you need it for crab, and especially they've got the bait, you know, they got all the baits you could need for any type of crabbing or fishing, and you name it, they've got it at Clyde Sports Shop. If it's fishing related, if it's crabbing related, even hunting and firearms related, that's where you'll go to find it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. You can catch up with them on the phone at 410-242-6108. And if you want that local fishing report, that's 247-3474. 247-FISH is the 24-hour fishing hotline. And you can call that number. It doesn't ring in the store. You just get a recorded recording and give you a hint of where the fish are biting and what they're biting on this week. So there you go. Clyde Sports Shop, longtime sponsor of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And we'll be right back. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land. Big John.
Big John. All right, we have time for one quick phone call. If somebody'd like to give us a ring here at 410.
Big Bad John.
Somebody'd like to give us a call here at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We'll take your call to end the hour, and then we'll start playing the music and get out of here till the next hour. We got Chuck Stentz from Maryland Department of Natural Resources coming up. He is the He is the anadromous restoration and aquaculture permits guy for the DNR, and he's intimately involved in the Atlantic sturgeon work in the Nanticoke River. Went with Chuck and the crew last year and saw how they did that to figure out the sturgeon population. But, you know, here we got a couple seconds left. If you'd like to give us a call real quick, 410-922-6680, comment on anything. Nobody answered the question on how many spots does a white-tailed deer fawn have other than Chuck, who texted us the answer. Should I tell him, Brian? Well, I don't know. We'll give somebody another 10 seconds to call. They have an answer, even a guess. Nine, eight, seven. Six. This is dynamic radio, isn't it? Three, two, and our. That's it. We're out of time on that one. The answer is that all whitetail fawns have 300 spots. 300. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's interesting. I don't know if it's amazing, but it's very interesting. And I remember 300 spots and 200 days for a gestation period. Just because it relates easily to me for a fawn to have 300 spots to be just the gestation period to be 200 days. So if you see a fawn born this weekend, or see a baby when, you know, that's a newborn, just count back 200 days and you'll know when that that doe conceived. And there are a number of studies out there that is done by the Maryland Quality Deer Management Association on the managed hunts. They actually do embryo surveys during the fall hunting season. They collect the embryos from the does that are harvested in some of the management hunts in January and February. Yes, the does are pregnant January, February. And then they have a scale that they use to track back to see when that doe conceived that fawn. And most of those fawns in Maryland are conceived in the first 15 days of November. Some earlier, some later. And primarily between the 7th and the 15th. So that is the peak of the rut. Anyway, there you go. All right, a little bit of deer information there. By the way, some of the places up at Deep Creek are a little behind on their estimates of the bear population in western Maryland, using the 2005 survey rather than the 2010 survey. Maybe they don't want to scare the tourist, but the bear population doubled from about 600 to 1,100 in Garrett and Allegheny County in a five-year period 5 years ago. So, just saying. All right, we'll be back after the news. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with Chuck Stentz from Maryland DNR. And we'll be talking about sturgeon and others. Now get out, stay out, and stay safe.